Now, we cannot get around the fact that the Bible has a lot to say about the fact that God does punish sinners in the flames of eternal punishment. Would you just take a minute and turn over to 2 Thessalonians? I put that reference here on the slide, but let's just read it, okay? Let's just read it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul here is talking to these believers, and he says to them in verse 6 that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He says, I want you to know, I want you to be comforted by the fact that those who persecute you, one day God is going to pay them back for their evil actions. He says, and to you who are troubled, verse 7, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. When the Lord Jesus returns, he's coming with flaming judgment for those who do not believe the gospel. By the way, you know what it means to obey the gospel, verse 8? The way you obey the gospel is by believing the gospel. The gospel is not just a recommendation. The gospel is not just an invitation. The gospel is a command. You need to repent and you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Those who refuse, those who disobey the gospel, those who do not believe, they will be punished, as it says in verse 8 and verse 9, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. He's coming with flaming fire to take vengeance upon them. Whew. Now, should that have an impact on us? Should that motivate us to share the gospel? I think it should. I think it can also help to try to illustrate God's perspective of sin. And so there's an illustration that I'm going to share with you here. It's not original with me, but I have my own version of it, okay? So I'm going to share it with you. The decaying carcass illustration. What in the world is that? The decaying carcass illustration. Okay. So I shared this at the Saturday class a while back. So if you're in the Saturday class, you already heard the decaying carcass illustration. But a few months ago, I was in my garage, and I was, I guess I was sweeping out my garage or something, and behind one of the wheels of my mower, I found the carcass of a dead bird. Evidently, a bird had gotten into my garage, and it had been flying around, and sometimes that happens, and usually I'm able to get the bird out, but evidently on this occasion, I didn't even know there was a bird in there, and it died, and it fell down, its little body fell down behind the wheel of my mower. And when I went to clean it up, I got a big shovel, you know, and I kind of scraped the carcass of that little bird up onto that shovel. I didn't want to touch it. Why didn't I want to touch it? Because it's a decaying carcass. It's not clean. Okay? And when I did scrape it up onto the shovel, then it was even worse because there were all these maggots underneath the dead body of the bird, and they were doing their maggot thing, and they were really processing the body of that bird very quickly. I mean, there was a big pile of these things just wiggling on the cement there. Now, what did I do with the dead carcass of that bird? I took it outside my garage, and I found a place, and I threw it out. I did not take the dead carcass of that bird and take it into my house. I don't want that in my house. Folks, what we need to understand about sin is that that is how God sees sin. And by the way, it's not just how he sees sin, but it's how he sees the unregenerate sinner. Sin is death. Sin is ugly. Sin in the sight of God is just as putrid and revolting and abhorrent as a decaying carcass would be to us. And what the Bible explains to us is that one day God is going to take the unredeemed sinner and he will throw them out. He will cast them into outer darkness. The word that the Bible uses to describe the lake of fire, the word Gehenna, that was a term that was used for the local garbage dump where they would burn the trash outside of Jerusalem. God is not going to take that sin, that filth, that junk. He is not going to bring it into his house. No way. It's not coming in there. He's going to get rid of it. Now see, when you start thinking about sin that way, it just totally reorients our thinking. And by the way, this is the answer for those who struggle with, you know, is God really going to send the heathen to hell who didn't hear the gospel? My friend, the Bible is very clear. Romans chapter 1, all of us are under the condemnation of God because of our sins. So that might help somebody to reorient their thinking, to begin to have some wisdom. Again, an illustration is not scripture. It's just an illustration. And we talked about this before, the power of the gospel is in the word of God. So make sure you're giving people scripture. But sometimes illustrations can be helpful to them to understand the word and to believe. But folks, that is the truth, that God really will send people to the lake of fire. And if you get into the last few chapters of Revelation, you will find in the midst of all the descriptions of the beauty of the new heaven and earth, not just one, not just two, but several references to the fact that at the same time there are people enjoying that new creation of God, there are others who are without. Others who are, as the scripture describes them, the dogs. Okay, those who are vile in their sins. They're going to be without forever. And the Lord Jesus said that that lake of fire is a place where the worm dieth not. The maggots of death are there, and they never go away. So, that's objection number 11. One more. We'll be done for tonight. Number 12, I don't believe in God. I can see I'm going overtime here. Sorry about that, but let's go on here. Let's finish up number 12 tonight. I don't believe in God. You're probably going to get this answer from time to time as you talk to people in today's society. I meet people all the time. They'll either say this or they'll say, I'm an atheist. That's just another way of saying I don't believe in God. And you know what? When somebody says that to you, it might set you back a little bit. But don't feel that way. Because often these are the best gospel conversations you can have. For one thing, you don't have to worry about transitioning the gospel. That person's already transitioned to the gospel for you, okay? You're now already having a spiritual discussion, so just go right into it and have a discussion. What is the problem here? The problem, very simply, is unbelief. And so I think the answer is to challenge this person to believe, to faith. Now, I want you to take a moment to go over Romans chapter 1 again, because I want to show you something here, and I got to hurry for the sake of time. But let's take a look at something in Romans chapter 1. Oftentimes, when somebody will say this to me, this is often something that people say early in the conversation. Okay, well, I just don't believe in God. Once they find out that you're, you know, quote unquote religious, or you're, you know, trying to share something like, well, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. The way that I like to respond by that to that is by asking that person, oh, when did you become an atheist? When did you stop believing in God? Now, the reason I like to ask that question is because Romans chapter 1, verse 18 tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, remember that term hold means to hold it down or suppress, who hold or suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. All right, so what does the scripture tell us? It says that God has made his existence obvious to everybody. So an atheist, somebody who says, I don't believe in God, at some point in the past, made a decision not to believe in God. So, when did you decide to become an atheist? And I think what you'll often hear is that there was either disappointment involved or disillusionment. Some kind of personal disappointment or tragedy. Some people become atheists by the road of disappointment. They think that God let them down somehow. I mean, they wanted to believe, and that God wasn't there for them, and so they responded in anger to God by deciding, well, I'm just not going to believe in you anymore, God. You weren't there when I needed you, and so I'm done with you. I've talked to people like that. So if you're going to talk to this person, you better be prepared to deal with the issue of why is there evil in this world, which is one of the topics of apologetics that we talked about several weeks ago. I think those are the two main reasons, disappointment, and then the second one is disillusionment. Disillusionment can be, first of all, from the bad example of supposed Christians. I talked to a guy just a few months ago now, I think I mentioned him before. You know, he was wearing a cap that said infidel across the top. And I asked him this, you know, and he said, well, you know, there were people in his life, grown-ups in his life when he was a kid, growing up, they were supposed to be Christians, and they didn't show Christ. Did I miss something here? No, I wasn't actually ready to go to the second page yet. I'll get there in just a minute. Another way that people get disillusioned is through secular education and indoctrination. And I've met people like that too, where they got into the secular educational system, their faith was attacked, it was undermined, they had questions, and they didn't get the answers from Christian people, and then these unbelievers started coming in, challenging and providing them with a whole new set of answers, and they just decided, well, God's not true, and I'm just going to believe this instead. And let me just also say that some people who say, I don't believe in God, are really hardened, okay? They are the hardened scorners, and those people are practically unreachable. They're not beyond the grace of God, but those can be the toughest nuts to crack, all right? But some quote-unquote atheists really do want to believe. And so you need to challenge them to faith. Challenge them to faith. And I think here's how you can do it. First of all, for the disappointed atheist, okay, the way you're going to challenge that person to believe is, first of all, you got to explain to them where bad things come from. They're having a hard time reconciling the idea of a good and loving God with why do bad things happen? There's an answer for that, isn't there? What's the Bible answer? The Bible answer is that God created a good world, a perfect world where there were no bad things happening. It was the sin choice of the human race that introduced bad things into this world. That's why bad things happen. It's not God's fault. People need to understand that. All right? So you want to explain that. Assure that person of God's love. They need to hear about it. They want to hear. And then transition to the gospel. Okay, so that's one approach you can take with the disappointed atheist, the disillusioned atheist. Challenge their worldview assumptions using design and creation. I think that's a good way to get started. I mean, just point out to them how illogical it is not to believe. All right, that infidel fellow that I was talking to, I mean, he was building a he was building a some classic car from the ground up, you know, and he had the wheels and the frame of it, and you know, and some of the things that were built there, and I just said to him, you know, if I walked into this garage and you weren't here, and I saw this car sitting here, you know, I wouldn't for a minute think that it put itself together. Okay, but I would think somebody is building this car, and you want to say that your body and the creation, everything around you, just happened? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's not logical. Because he was trying to tell me that it was logic that led him to be an atheist. Secondly, emphasize the need for the gospel by appealing to the conscience. We've talked about that, and point to Christ as the only Savior from sins. And I gave you the approach to that back for objection number 10. So again, you want to get right back to the gospel, but you want to challenge their worldview assumptions and then bring them back to the conviction of sins. That, hey, you know, the idea that God isn't real, that's silly. He is real. He has revealed himself. He's told us the truth. He's given us the Savior, and you need to be ready to give an account to him. You need to be saved. Preach the gospel. All right, and so I went way over time tonight. I did not give you a new verse, but I did want to mention to you that I have available here at the table in the front tonight copies of all the verses I've given you so far. So if you're missing any of your verse cards and you want to have a complete set, come up here tonight. Hopefully you don't have to take one of every one, but if you do, that's okay. I want you to have every one that you need. I'm not going to give you any more verses for this class, but I do want you to make sure you have all the verses that I've already given you and that you're working on learning those. And that'll be a part of what we do on Saturday, this class this Saturday at 8 o'clock. Let's divide up now tonight, and even though it's hours a little bit late, let's still go ahead and take some good time for prayer, okay? Let's